It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Once again, I remind you that it is a good life living for the Lord. Well, I'm glad you joined me today as we look through the book of Romans. And we're going to continue our study in Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 11. Also, let me remind you that scripture for the study of the book of Romans is taken from the Word of God, the King James Bible. Well, today, as we continue our study, verse 11 of chapter 3 says, and once again, this is where we left off last time, it says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Well, none that understandeth. This describes man's spiritual blindness. When it comes to the things of God and the truth of God, there is no understanding according to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "But the natural man," and this is the unsaved person, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And notice not only there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh. There is none that, who seeks diligently after God. This is describing the depraved nature of man. And this causes him to run away from God rather than to God. Why is this? Well, it's because the Bible says it is natural for man to go his own way. It's just natural. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Laid on him. That's Jesus Christ. The iniquity of us all. Remember, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has let us know at this point that there's no difference. Everybody's the same. We're all sinners. We're lost without Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is an answer, and that is through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "They are all gone out of the way." Oh, that's speaking of mankind. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Gone out of the way. Now, we've already read Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. It says all. All have turned to their own way. Well, we've all gone astray. And we've become unprofitable. We've become depraved, worthless. And it comes from a word meaning to become sour, like milk, when it gets sour. Not buttermilk, but soured milk. And there's a difference. Then the third thing about this verse, verse 12, is that there's none that doeth good. Good means kindness. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 and Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 talk about this. God was very kind to the unkind. God was kind to those who didn't deserve any kindness at all. Depraved men lack goodness or kindness. It's impossible. Then the fourth thing about this verse, there are no exceptions to what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Note the emphasis, none. No, not one, none. None, none. No, not one. There is no doubt. Paul emphasizes that there is none. In verse 13 of Romans 3, it says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." This is like the old snake poison, the venom of snakes. Notice the word sepulcher. This is the grave, the tomb. And when God looks down man's throat, what he sees within are dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27. It talks about that. Well, notice the word deceit in the verse that we're looking at, verse 13. All men are deceivers and liars from God's point of view. The word asps is the venomous cobras. Poisonous words come out of their mouth, out of men's mouths. Verse 14 of chapter 3, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Well, the safe person's mouth is to be continually full of blessing instead of cursing. And we need to always speak well of God. In Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Well, secondly, about verse 14, is when a person swears and curses. We should say, "Sir, excuse me, but your heart is showing." This is what we should say to someone who's cursing. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." See, it's impossible to be good apart from Jesus Christ. The natural man is not good. Romans chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." Shedding of blood now. Shedding of blood. Now, these people are described as murderers, eager to murder. Shedding of blood here refers to a violent, murderous death. They don't care what they do. They're lost. They're sinful. We look on in verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. Destruction here means ruin. They want to ruin everything. Misery. They're actually miserable. Their great unhappiness is involved with this, and a serious lack of contentment or happiness is seen here. And the word also means wretched, and it's the same word used in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, where Paul says, "Wretched, miserable man that I am." Well, then we look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 17. It says this, "And the way of peace have they not known." Notice the word peace. Peace. They have not known the way of peace. Man's awful history of warfare is seen in every age and in every generation. And there is only one way to have peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of what? But of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Christians have a promise of peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, now, God wants to bring every man and woman, boy and girl, in this world peace. And he has brought that peace, and that peace comes through Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, notice now with me, if you would, Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul once again is laying out the case here about men and women. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is speaking, of course, of the natural person, the person without Jesus Christ. We've seen this verse, the very root of the problem that God has, no fear. There is no fear in the eyes of these people. There is no reverence and respect for God at all. Have you ever heard someone say, "I love God to death," or "I love Jesus to death," but yet they've never trusted him as Savior? They don't love him. They don't love Jesus. If they loved Jesus, they would ask him into their heart. They would ask for salvation. They would ask for forgiveness of sin. This is brought about by fear, a reverential fear of God. Now, we love God only because he first loved us and gave himself for us that we could be saved and on our way to heaven. Well, Jesus died for you. He died for me. He shed his blood on the cross for this whole world. It's sad to say that everybody in this world is not going to go to heaven. It's only those who have trusted Jesus Christ and appropriated his blood. Well, how do you appropriate the blood of Christ? You ask him to save you, to come into your heart, come into your innermost being as best you know how. Ask him to save you, and he will save you. You heard the word repent. Repent means you have a change of mind. That means you're willing to go God's way instead of going your way. Well, notice now as we continue on, this verse, the verse that we've read, the words fear and reverence. Fear and reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom according to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." There's the word fear. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now, I would ask this, do you want to be wise? Do you want to have knowledge? Then you need to fear God. Have the reverential fear of God and let Him lead you and guide you and realize that He is God, that He is the Creator, and that He has given you life through Jesus Christ if you will accept it. Now, the verdict. The verdict of those people who do not fear God is found in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. It says this, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." You see, every mouth is stopped. Every mouth is closed. And what has man to say in his defense? He has nothing to say. Man knows that he is guilty as charged. And God, the righteous judge, knows all and sees all and was witness to every sin and crime that we have ever committed. Well, what can we say? We've already seen in our study that God sees everything. He sees guilty. All the world is brought before the judgment of God to hear the verdict, guilty. And they're left standing there, trembling and silent. Notice Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." See, keeping the law, which nobody's ever done except Jesus Christ, keeping the law will save no one. It says, "Therefore, and so, by the deeds of the law, and so, even by trying to fulfill the contract of the law, there shall," it has been determined, this verse is saying, "there is no person justified or acceptable in God's sight." Well, secondly, we see, "for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Because of the law, there is an awareness. There is a clear understanding of the truth about sin. The law cannot save, according to John chapter 1, verse 29, but it can lead us to a saving knowledge. Have you trusted Him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Well, my heart's desire today is that you will receive Him. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart. Now, you're guilty before an all-seeing God. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, He wants to save you today. "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm changing my mind, Lord. I want to go your way. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior as best I know how. I believe you died for me on the cross. Save me so I can go to heaven." Now, if you'll pray a prayer like that, God's not going to save you because of the prayer. It's because of what's in your heart. What you're saying is letting Him know that you want to be saved. God says He'll save you because you're honoring His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless that person today who needs you. I pray that you would bless them in the sense of giving them what they need. May they call upon your name today. May they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For His sake, I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.